Well, first I'd like to introduce a good friend of mine, a good Italian Philadelphia boy, Father Joe DeLuca, who loves Philly cheesesteaks and good Italian food. So my family's known him for a long time. He's been ordained 13 years, just like myself. He's a missionary of the Blessed Sacrament. He goes around the country. He's traveled to all 50 states and many other parts of the world, setting up chapels of Eucharistic adoration, perpetual adoration, in hundreds of parishes throughout the United States. So please keep praying for his mission, his missionary work, and pray that many more hundreds of pastors will be open to starting chapels of perpetual Eucharistic adoration in their parishes throughout the country. I first met Father Joe, I was 16 years old. I was standing on a street corner outside of Philadelphia giving out Catholic literature. We had literature stands and we were promoting good Catholic literature, and he came up, pretended to be a Jehovah Witness. He tried to give me a hard time about different things. And for about 10 or 15 minutes, he gave me a hard time. And then I could see he was wearing a brown scapular, so I knew he was really a Catholic in disguise. So, today is a wonderful feast day. You know, it reminds me of once I was teaching a CCD class, and I asked the kids, what were the names of the underground caves and tunnels that the early Christians had to go to say Mass before they could build churches? And they said, it begins with the letter C. And one kid confidently says, I know, Father, the cataracts. The cataracts. Well, I said, that's close. It's actually the catacombs. The catacombs were where the early church had to go for really the first 300 years until Constantine was converted to Christianity and legalized Christianity, and therefore the church could build churches. And really the very first church that was built was the church which we now call St. John Lateran, and today's feast day is the dedication of the Lateran Basilica in Rome. And when you go to Rome, which I hope all of you will have a chance sometime during your lifetime to go, just as every Muslim goes to Mecca, every Catholic should make their pilgrimage to Rome, and to see the four great basilicas, St. Peter, which is the Vatican, St. Paul's, which is outside the city walls, St. Mary Major, which is the oldest church in the world in honor of the Blessed Mother, and the most important one of all, St. John Lateran. See, if you ask most Catholics, what's the most important church? They all say St. Peter's, but that would be the wrong answer. It's actually St. John Lateran. See, the popes have only lived at St. Peter's like the last 300 or 400 years, whereas really from the 300s up until the 16th century, the popes all lived and worked out of the parish church of St. John Lateran. The church was established by Constantine in the year 324 on property, on land given to him by the wealthy Laterini family. That's why the name of the parish is called St. John Lateran, after that name of the family. And John was taken from St. John the Baptist and St. John the Evangelist, the two patron saints of that church. The original basilica was long since destroyed by fires and earthquakes and war. However, the popes over the years were always consecrated as popes in that basilica from the 300s up until the 16th century. The current church was built in the year 1646. It's a magnificent architectural structure. It contains on the outside 15 marble statues of Jesus, then John the Baptist and John the Evangelist, and then 12 of the most important doctors of the church, the great theologians of the church. This church also holds underneath its main altar some very special relics, relics of the altar or the wooden table upon which St. Peter said Mass while he was the Bishop of Rome 2,000 years ago. That's why we're called Roman Catholics, because St. Peter was the first pope, the first leader of the church, chosen by Christ, and Christ built his church and founded his church upon St. Peter. St. Peter died in Rome. He was the Bishop of Rome. That's why we're called Roman Catholics. And our church can be traced back 2,000 years to the very time of Christ. When we look at history, it's fascinating to read about churches that go back way to the 3rd century or 4th century, like St. John Lateran. It's also interesting that 28 of the popes are buried there at St. John Lateran Basilica. It's called the Mother Church of all of Christendom. And it's the Pope's own parish, just like we have our parish of Holy Trinity. That's the Pope's parish, the Diocese of Rome. That's its cathedral. And every Holy Thursday, John Paul II goes there with all the priests of the Diocese of Rome. They renew their priestly vows, and this is where he ordains many of his priests. The fact that it's the mother church of all Christendom, and the fact that the Pope is the pastor of that parish, means that in a sense, every one of us belongs to two parishes. The one you belong to here, namely Holy Trinity, but also we're all part of that other parish of St. John Lateran. So it's really called it's our spiritual home in Rome. So if you do go there to Rome, make sure you visit the Church of St. John Lateran. Now, the readings today are all about the house of God, the temple of God, and not surprisingly, because of this great feast day. And in today's gospel, the Lord has to cleanse the temple of the money changers and those that are selling the animals in the temple area. See, when people would travel to Jerusalem, they went there to offer animal sacrifices. So usually they would take their own lamb or their own doves or their own oxen with them. But many of them traveled for such far distances, they could not bring their own animal with them to sacrifice. So they would buy an animal there at the temple, and that was acceptable. However, two or three problems began to arise around the time of Christ. One of them was that those that were selling the animals had moved the animals into the temple area itself, as it says in today's gospel. They weren't outside the temple. They actually brought them up inside the court of the Gentiles into the temple area, which was supposed to be dedicated to prayer. So they were making it a marketplace. And so that was the first problem. So that's why the Lord drove them out of the temple area, so they should be outside of the sanctuary itself or the holy place itself. Another problem was that in those days, if people brought their own animals, if the authorities saw a blemish or something in that animal that they didn't like, they would say, this is no good, you have to buy one of ours. So the Lord wasn't too happy about that. Plus, they were only taking their own local currency. And when people traveled from Greece and Rome and Egypt, they had to exchange their money. That's why they set up money changers in the temple. And these people were charged exorbitant exchange rates as well. So the Lord was upset by this injustice that was being done. So he comes in, he makes a whip, and he drives out all of the money changers, throws over their tables, and drives out the animals from the temple area. So he cleansed the temple. Well, you and I, as the second reading says, are temples of God and temples of the Holy Spirit. Look what St. Paul says. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For the temple of God, which you are, is holy. See, the Lord even himself said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. He was referring to the temple of his body. So each one of us, according to Scripture, is a living temple of God. We become temples of God in baptism. When we're baptized, we become little tabernacles, little churches, little dwelling places of God. Yesterday, I baptized 11 babies yesterday up at the monastery. And when I did that, I told the people, realize that your children are becoming temples of God, temples of the Holy Spirit. But you know, sometimes as we grow, sometimes we let the money changers into the temple of our soul. Sometimes we allow sin into our life. And this could be envy, it could be jealousy, it could be lust, it could be anger, it could be pride, it could be vanity. And we let these sort of the money changers, the animals, sort of get into the temple of our soul. And now what we need to do is to have the Lord come in with his whip, right? And to cleanse the temple. Now the whip that the Lord uses for us really is his grace. And this drives out sin from our life. Now the three great ways that the Lord purifies us and cleanses our temple of sin is first of all through his word, through the sacred scriptures. When people read the Bible, when people read the Gospels, that's as powerful as a two-edged sword that separates and then cuts away sin. The reading of the Bible has transformed many a person. And just reading the New Testament has brought about many conversions and has cleansed many people of sin. Another way is prayer. That prayer is very powerful. True prayer, especially something like the rosary, becomes something that purifies us of sin. It's said that sin and true prayer cannot coexist for long in the same person. That if somebody starts praying the rosary, eventually they'll eliminate serious sin from their life, because sin and true prayer cannot coexist at the same time. One or the other will go. Either we'll give up sin, or we'll give up saying the rosary. We'll give up prayer, or we'll give up sin. So make sure that we, in our life, have a strong prayer life so that it drives out those bad things from our life. And lastly, confession is the third, besides the scriptures and prayer, especially the rosary. The sacrament of confession cleanses us from sin. When we go to confession, we might go in there with serious sins on our souls, but when we go to confession, Jesus drives out those sins from the temple of our soul. That's how powerful this sacrament is. Because the Bible says all of us are called to be God's temple, God's living temple. And God loves to dwell with us. He dwelt with the chosen people, with the Ark of the Covenant. He dwelt with them in their temple, built by Solomon, then built by King Herod. And he dwells with us in all of our churches. Even today, even though we meet in the high school, Jesus is here in the tabernacle. And he dwelt and has been dwelling for centuries in all the churches, all the Catholic churches which have the tabernacle, which have the true presence of the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. And so, but don't forget, he also dwells within us in sanctifying grace. So he says, do not forget that every one of us is a little church, a little temple of God. And if we have anything in our life that we need to get rid of, invite the Lord in. And with his grace that comes to us through prayer, the scripture, and the sacraments, he can cleanse us and make us holy, because he said that's what he wants us to be, living tabernacles, living temples of Almighty God. God bless you.